Hello, and welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is...
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that rewrites myths and legends. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Ed. How are you? Not the best.
Correct.
I'm led to believe.
I'm extraordinarily unwell. I'm sat here in a winter coat inside my house, somewhat wrapped up.
He's like a sort of mountain warehouse Riddler, if you will.
That is an apt description. I know that everybody will want an episode, but basically I can't commit to a full hour and a half feeling like this.
He can barely do his own voice, ladies and gentlemen.
It's very true. This is the fifth time we've done this intro. So,
look. Shut up, Mum, I'm a professional.
Exactly. But we wanted to make sure that we came on and recorded something because we said we would in the Discord, and we want to talk about the OGL, Open Gaming License, that has go on, Sam.
Yeah, this is something that's dropped fairly recently, hasn't it? And it's... Again, this isn't really going to be inside a baseball because it's more a conversation beyond the D&D about basically creative commons, intellectual property, third-party development, how that all kind of wraps up in a big old corporate bubble when you have people who really, really, really want to make money from an investment.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is fine, but it's not going to be a usual show this week, but we're going to talk about something pretty important in a... very informative, relatively light-hearted way, as is our sort of style.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. I'm a little unwell, so I'm a bit cranky, so I might go extremely left or extremely right, and you better fucking watch out. Both barrels coming straight for you.
And then, and another thing. don't touch me. Yeah. And another thing.
Exactly. So, let's talk about... So that I'll give you the date so that everybody knows where we're at. So it's Thursday, the 19th of Jan, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is post all three... releases, so the leak, the PR piece, and then the second PR piece, right?
So, first of all, for those who aren't quite into this, because I live and breathe this, and you had to bring this to my attention. What is the Open Gaming License, and why and how was there a leak, and what was the repercussions of that?
All right, so 100% don't know why there was a leak or how it actually got out. Mm-hmm. Whatever, I don't necessarily care in terms of that thing. That's for Wizards to sort out and figure out who the mole is and cap them. So what it ultimately is, or what it first was, because there's been changes, is a way to monetize third-party content for Wizards.
Okay.
And a way to control usage of 5th edition mechanics. Basically.
Right, so this is things. This is everything from Critical Role to Beowulf that uses the mechanics and rules
of correct.
5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what is... Take us through, what is the cap, isn't it? How much money you make, yada, 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 something dirty like that?
Yeah, exactly. So you have to announce how much cash you've made, right? This is what the original leak was. It's you have to basically... send your books over to Wizards and go, this is the amount of money, profit, I should say, this is the amount of profit that we've made, right? And if your profits exceed a certain amount of cash, which I think is $270,000, which is, you know, a reasonable whack.
$270,000 is what, like 200 grand?
Yeah.
GBP.
Okay. Exactly. You have to pay Wizards some cash, right? That's that side of thing, which I... at that level, don't necessarily disagree with, and I'll tell you for why in a minute.
Yeah.
The thing that is worrying is around intellectual property. So if you use 5th edition rules and all that sort of stuff, you basically don't have, and I'm really paraphrasing here because ultimately I don't fancy talking about a full legal document, you don't have control over the things that you have created using 5e rules.
Define control.
Wizards can use your stuff, basically. So,
what? Sorry, what?
So, for instance, if we released Homebrew Heroes now, under the...
Which we did.
Yeah, which we did. But if we re-release it now, and we did that under the first iteration of the OGL, me and you, Sam, would basically give up the rights to that document. So,
Wizards of the Coast could put out a book next year, and we could be reading it, and I haven't done this for fucking ages. There could be a bit in the contents that says, Agangi!
Oh, God, yeah. I feel bad about bringing this up.
Simians, or...
Sicantio.
Sicantio, or any of the stuff we put in there.
Yeah.
And they could go, well, that's ours now. We're going to make literally millions off it. And we could go, well, we haven't got a pot to piss in, we haven't got a claim to steak.
Exactly. Correct? Yeah, that's it. Right?
That is some... That spend cap I can get on board with, kind of.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why there is that element in there and why I'll agree with it in a minute. Because I think if we break this down, because let's be fair, I think I'm somewhat more financially driven when it comes to things like this. I don't mean that in a dicky way. I technically work in finance, and you are, you know, you're a writer, so we should divvy that between the two of us, realistically.
True. So financially and the legal.
Yeah, sure.
Stuff. Take us through that.
Okay, so this is... Well, look, listen, that's the first part of it. So since we've released this, since Wizards have, you know, that's been leaked, Wizards have done two PR statements. The first one was really strange. It was very slow to respond.
Yeah.
And
you've got an audience, I don't work in PR, but I work kind of, what I do is kind of adjacent to it. When you have such a loyal community that, and we'll get onto this later, have given you so much and made you so much, and you do this, whatever this quote unquote is, and they go, fucking what? En masse, and you say... Yeah. Nothing for what, a week?
It was
5 days
about
a working
5 days,
week?
5-6 days.
Right. Poor play.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, why did you do that to us? Like, in a business sense, poor play.
Yeah, you got to respond fast to that. So that's one criticism. And the response also was very strange, because there is a line in there which I think says something along the lines of, people will say they won. The reality of it is we're all winners because we now have listened to your feedback and will continue to make this better. And it's such a weird, I don't know, it's such a weird, like, backwards statement. It's almost like going, yes, you chatted up a storm on your little Twitters, your customers, you had a little hashtag, didn't you? But you didn't fucking win. The corporate won. We still won. And it was just so strange. So strange.
It was, yeah, it was very, very mealy-mouthed.
Yeah, exactly.
I found very, very mealy-mouthed. Like, we all were. And I tell you what, I've read both these statements a few times now. If they put another fucking, we rolled for perception and we got a zero, or we rolled for, not the time.
Yeah.
Not the time. Read the fucking room. Oh, yeah, my God.
I do agree with that. So... The third one is basically the equivalent of the Dungeons and Dragons corporate, or I should say Hasbro corporate sacrificial goat, where they wheeled out Kyle, I think his name is.
Kyle Brink, the executive producer on D&D, and we're not going after Kyle as a person, but we are going after the piece of
literature
work that his name has been put to, because that's how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And... I'm very surprised that there haven't been any firings or quittings actually over this. Just based upon based upon the world that we live in and how reactionary it is to situations. Like, everybody takes things to quite an extreme, and this is why I want to talk about the financial piece, because I'm pretty good at sitting on fences, right? I can see both sides of the argument, and I'm just
straight. Post in your mouth. That's how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. because we see things that are always stronger reactions, because people respond to it more, and the way that the internet works, if you're more you know, if you're more aggressive or you're more passionate about something, it creates a response from somebody else who feels the other way, and that gets like pushed in front of us continually, right?
And here's the thing to remember with arguments like this. In fact, there's two things I want to say. The first thing is, don't fucking find Kyle Brink on social media and dox him and go after him personally and fuck his life up. That's not how you win this shit, okay? Mm. So don't do that. This is Sam Bradley of Starter Set saying, don't do that. The second thing is, like, when you have arguments like this, especially arguments around legal stuff and creative commons and intellectual property and nuanced arguments, something the internet isn't still really together with.
No.
Two things can be true at the same time.
Exactly.
So let's hold that in the front of our heads.
Yeah. So
I think
with that as an idea, let me talk to you about the idea of the financial piece that Hasbro are looking at here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Dungeons and Dragons makes up 70% of Hasbro's profits.
What?
It's a huge amount, okay?
What the hang on. What the fuck else do Hasbro own everything? Don't they own like He-Man
Yeah, but
and shit?
You know, like who do you I've never met somebody who's like, "I fucking love He-Man. Look at all my He-Man toys and all this sort of shit." You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's mass produced. I think it's cheap, so I don't think the margins on it are that big. Now, we know that D&D books are expensive, okay? Okay, so with that in mind, let's talk about the financial piece and how that affects end creators, ultimately.
Sure.
And here's the reason why I don't think it is... I don't think it's too bad, if I'm going to be completely honest. And this is even the original OGL, right? Mm-hmm. Number one, the limit of how much you can earn before having to pay cash is quite high, right? And that's profit. So it's not running costs, it's profit.
Net profit. Yeah,
exactly. So that's massive in the first place. Anybody doing that already is doing well, okay? Now, or well-ish, right? Well enough for
but
a small studio.
They could be doing a lot weller.
Yeah, they could be.
Considering it's... yeah, okay.
But here's the thing. Like Wizards and Hasbro in that did spend time and money and, what is more important, risk, because I'm going to talk about how risk all works in with this, to create this mechanic, these mechanics, and get that out there and put that out there. It's been a success. That's fantastic. But it could have flopped. And they spent a lot of money and time and getting people involved to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you to come in and create something off the back of that, you're taking the risk of a mechanical system not working and you're getting rid of it. You're just chucking it out there. And ultimately going...
That's a huge thing in TTRPG, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. If your mechanics don't work, it doesn't matter how good your story is, people will go, "This is rubbish, doesn't work, let's bin it." So that's the first part. I mean, that's exactly why we didn't do the Marvel thing, because we looked at the mechanics and went, "This is crap." Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We know that like Disney put a lot of cash into that and spent time on it. And
Well,
yeah, okay, fine. But ultimately, they paid money to have that risk of that book being released and it not being good and not well received, which it wasn't, right? Flop, done. Lost a lot of money. So if you come along, and here's the thing, typically, small publishers will finance their books through Kickstarter, okay? So
typically, yeah.
Typically, right? Now, that's good. Actually, I even say small publishers. Even Critical Role funded their animated series through Kickstarter, won it, and then also sold it to Amazon. So they made bank twice off the back of this idea. Now, in my opinion, and you know it would have been a lot of cash as well, and they've done the second series, undoubtedly they're going to get the third, right? Obviously, we're playing a game with Beowulf where this is exactly how they fund their creations, right? Beowulf is originally kickstarted and then they use that to build it up and then go, right, this is successful. But by doing that, you take all the risk that you as a company put up originally. And do you know who takes that risk?
Well, not
the
us.
End players. Yeah, no, it's the end players. Of course it is. We go, "I'm going to give you money. If your system or your story doesn't get to the position where you feel you can fully release it, boom, gone. That's it." So what Wizards and Hasbro
What you're arguing in favour of is free market.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Now, imagine, and this is interesting as well, because Free League Publishing, right? Big, they're big publishers. And they've got books out there. Next to any, if you go into any bookshop where they're selling D&D, they will have Free League books, whether it be what's the most recent one? Blade Runner, whether it's the Lord of the Rings one, it's the Vaesen one. They'll have those books out there. And now these guys have got the... Well, I don't know how they're funding things, but they have had many, many successful books out there. They are all getting into large chains and large places and large bookshops where they can be purchased. But the initial output and the initial risk is not put on that business. It's put on the customer. Wizards don't do that. All right? So that's the argument. And that's where you can see them wanting to claw that back and try and say, listen, we created this thing. We spent time, money, and risk to do this. Now, I can understand how, because number one, fundamentally, I don't necessarily agree with Kickstarter, so I do need to put that out there. Just because of that argument that I've just made, because time and time again, you start something, get excited by it, fund it, and you're let down. Yeah. Quite
for every one success story, there are hundreds of failures.
Exactly, and that's just money that's gone. It's great to have good ideas and to try and put them out there. I like the idea of it. I just don't think it's done right, and people are kickstarting the wrong things. I mean, now, if we look at other sort of funding platforms, GoFundMe is just a platform for Americans to get healthcare. I broke my leg. Can you give me 10 grand? I've got life-changing conditions. Can you help me? That's all that GoFundMe is. Now, that's a good thing, but ultimately, that's not the plaster that should be fixing that piece.
No.
I think I've made my point there in terms of I can see why Wizards want that back. And the other thing is Wizards is a public platform, right? Sorry, not Wizards. I apologize. Hasbro is a public company. You can purchase stocks if you want to and purchase a certain amount, a decent big amount, to be able to say and have conversations around the direction of the company. I know that's not possible for everyone. But as soon as we see the outrage upon the internet, why do we not see that idea being created and we get a GameStop situation where the little guys all get together, do the purchasing, do that changing? Mm-hmm. I know that's a very idealized idea behind it, but it is the system, and that's how you can control what companies do. And also by obviously boycotting their products.
Go on.
And my final piece. And this is the one where I'll probably get a bit of stick, but Wizards and Hasbro, and this is key, don't owe you anything as players. They don't. I know it's a big deal, and I'll tell you why, Sam. Because when you buy a book, you it's a contract. It's going, how much is this book? It's £30. I will give you £30 to own this book. End of the contract.
Cool. Yeah, okay, cool.
All right.
That's a good final point. Yeah. I think that is where our intersections, that is where I can no longer hold myself back from interjecting. They do owe us something. Whether they owe us, how much they owe us, I should say, I'm into conversation, but they do owe the fans something.
Why?
And I'm tired of this fucking narrative around, well, we took all this risk and you're a fucking corporation. If you didn't buy this, you'd buy something else. You live by the sword, die by the sword. If you didn't buy this, you'd buy something else. If it failed, you go out of business, because that's the fucking game you play.
True.
All right? Dilly Dolly, fucking who sells dice down the road, does it, just like fucking Hasbro do. But Hasbro, you know, there's a bigger cushion for failure, isn't there? Of course there is. Mm. And I do not care for the free market argument. Well, everyone's by the same rules. Everyone plays by the same rules. Everyone develops products by the same rules. They don't. You know it and I know it.
Okay, well...
They don't.
Give me an example. Because I've given you examples of how that all works when it comes to, like, the Kickstarters and all that kind of thing. Like, take me the other direction so we can explore this properly.
So someone who makes dice, for example, just whatever, someone who does what we do.
Yeah.
Right? when they're putting, when we put money into this, not to get gaudy about it, but we've put money into this. I know we have a, what the Patreon. Fuck's it called? A Patreon, thank mm-hmm. you, where people very generously dip into their own pocket. You know, that's, in terms of the history of starter set LTD, it's a very new thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We've put money into this. And if our ship fails, well, that's money down the drain.
True.
But if Hasbro can go, do you know what? I feel like we should make a movie. Oh, go on then. How much are we going to do in it?
This is a movie. Mil? Yeah, I've seen this. I have seen this
just,
piece of the
no, argument. No, just for example. I'm not using it to segue into it. I'm just using it as an example. 60 mil? 70 mil? 100, 100 mil? 100 mil. All right, cool. What's the fallback if we lose 100 mil? Hasbro will still be a thing and we'll still be able to innovate as we still were. Yeah, cool, because that's how big business works. Got it. Cool.
So sure. Okay.
They can still do that. So to wheel round to my first point, I fundamentally disagree that they don't owe us anything, because when this game's been in shit streaks and when this game has not been as popular as it is now and when things about this game have not been working, right, people who have put time and effort and their own money into it, and I'm also tired of hearing the argument that time doesn't cost anything. It fucking does when you're an indie creator. Sorry. It does. Because mm-hmm. you've usually got a job that isn't this, right? You have and I have.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they fucking do owe us something. Whether they owe us creative control of the company, not an argument. The fan base deserves to have been treated better.
Agreed.
Not pandered to, but better.
Mm.
And I am sick to the back teeth of the argument that, well, we all play the same game. No, Hasbro, we fucking don't.
So this is the too big to fail ultimately conversation, mm-hmm. right? Where
well, yeah, ultimately, yeah.
Yeah, theoretically, if Hasbro really went tits up, you've got a potential where the government will step in, somebody will come in, buy them out, and they will continue to function in the same way, right?
Yeah, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. No, that's, Joe, I can...
So that's first thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Second thing, again, by the same metric, Hasbro didn't fucking invent tabletop games.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't invent the concept of it, right? They bought the most successful. I don't know, is Dungeons & Dragons the most successful?
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
The only one I played.
Yeah, it will be.
Right, okay, by a standard metric. Where was I going with that? So they've bought their way into this position,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, someone, to quote The Social Network, someone who makes a nice pair of jeans doesn't owe money to the first person that ever made pants. Right?
No, that's fair.
So I think to say that there hasn't been a bankable level of creativity go the other way, Unearthed Arcana, as one example, is pretty fucking ignorant.
This is the... We've playtested all this sort of stuff using end mm-hmm. users who are ultimately not getting paid to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's
do
fair.
It for the love of the game.
Yeah, that's agreed.
And the minute you turn around and say, well, the love of my game is actually causing me to say this, that and the other about the open gaming license, well, you're the bad guy. But don't worry, we'll all win. Fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's points and counterpoints with those. Like, again, with the purchasing of D&D in the first place that Hasbro did, once again, risk that they created for themselves. But I get, this is the thing, is we can both present arguments either side of this, and we, as you said, you can both be right. You know what I mean? It's a sliding scale.
Yeah, agreed, it is. And yeah, actually, that leads nicely into my other point.
Mm.
This, what do you say? The I keep saying price cap like it's sports, but what's the cutoff that you have to start submitting your tax records to Wizards of the fucking Coast?
Well, so there isn't technically a cutoff.
Okay,
you have to start doing it. That's the other thing, is you just, if you're earning money. So you and me, we earn quite a, you know, we earn a bit of cash off the back of this podcast.
Yeah,
it's not a huge amount. It helps us keep the lights on. It basically covers the running costs of what we do, right?
Yeah.
If we... That, we would theoretically have to submit to Wizards, which ultimately is
what?
A waste of... Yeah, ultimately is a waste of time because it's so little and so low. And there will be loads of other people that are doing that piece. Not that we don't appreciate it, by the way. That
no,
sounded,
no, but it's...
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you're saying.
But it's
is,
not £270,000.
No, it's not. And it's... But here's the thing. Who set that? An accountant set that. Someone who doesn't understand the game, doesn't probably understand the fiscal requirements of doing what we do, doing what... Moreover, I got to stop saying doing what we do, because we are very lucky to have the people that we have giving us money every month, you know, and those people know who they are, and this is not saber rattling for more or champagne socialism. There's people who do a lot more than us for the community on a lot less. And this is what this is about. We're middle fish comparatively, but someone somewhere hasn't thought about, well, what does it take? What is the, because here's the thing. And I return to sort of my by day job, right? I've worked in industries where you have creative people, not, hey man, creative writers, journalists, for example, and you have commercial people who sell adverts. Both of those are as important as the other. But one of them has a quantitative value, and one of them will rise, just like the other one will rise, and creatives stop, usually, at being the best creative in the department because they still like being creative, whereas commercial people will rise a lot higher.
Yeah.
Right? The accountants always end up running the show. Whatever. Say what you want. I'm not getting into that. But that is how it works. And that's because there is a numerical value on the value they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
There is not a numerical value, and it's less so now in copywriting with SEO and backlinks and web traffic But traditionally, you can't put a numerical value on the people who sit there and go, I'm going to send 3 hours and invent a new homebrew race.
Yeah, agreed.
For example, or I'm going to sit here and build one of the millions and billions and trillions of homebrew cities, towns, mines, forests. You know, what value is this, for want of a better term, what value is Tarthage?
Yeah.
It took me ages to write, took me ages to record, took me ages to do all that stuff. Right.
Well, and
yet,
I agree.
And it brings in, and yet now I've certainly got to go cap in hand to someone and go, oh no, please, this is the value. This does have value. And here's the value. But it's not really the value because no one's paying me 20 quid an hour to sit here after I've come back from my job and I put my kid to bed and go, right, episode 3, because I know people want it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I do agree on those pieces that it quantitatively, it is a lot harder to put value to creative endeavours.
And it's almost, to link back to your point, we can't even have that conversation. You can't.
Sure.
You can't. Go online and try to tell people the worth of their work, because it's all subjective. And this is coming from a subjective place. I don't agree with... I'm not necessarily agreeing with Ed or even my own points at this point. But it's very difficult to have that conversation because of things like hustle culture and you got to fake it till you make it, you got to grind, you got to get on the grind. Okay. Well, some people are more positioned to get on the grind than others, and that doesn't mean that their ideas are necessarily better value than the other person. But on the other side of that, there is a famous sort of statement I'm going to paraphrase from Johnny Marr, the guitarist from the Smiths and the Cribs. And he says, there are people that can play guitar as well as me, better than me, can write songs as well, better than me. But the difference is I have a string in my bow that means I can brand myself. I can go out and sell it. Even when I was nobody, I could go out and put myself out there and perform. And that gives me the edge over the 10 other people who can play just as well as me, write just as well as me. So I understand that there is a value. How you delineate that is possibly another conversation. To people who go up and go, no, hey, I want to do this. You know, look at some of the wonderfully talented people that we spoke to on Weecast Sending.
Yeah, Bonus Action.
Bonus Action, the likes of Jen Kretschmer, wonderfully talented individuals who have really worked and really gone in there and have been picked up by Wizards of the Coast or been picked up by other publishing companies.
Yeah.
And it's paid off fucking A. Good for them. And I will not have a word said against them. I think they're all wonderful people. And it just shows how down to earth they were. They come and talk to little old us for money. No one took a fee. People gave their time and their energy to speak to us. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
But they are in the minority. And I think the people who don't do that, or the people that want to start their own thing, you know, seem to get pushed to the back of the queue because of what a fucking tax code.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's also having the position to be able to take that that leap as well. For instance, as you as you say, hustle culture, to be able to spend 5 years extra living at home with your parents and hone your craft.
Or, exactly.
You've got that base level load of cash that can allow you to then go and do that thing, which you agreed 100%. And this is now more of a conversation around big business, little business kind of things. The final piece that I will say is, and this is cash wise again, Wizards is and Hasbro is a large company and will have extra costs for each person that they employ. That I know, which I do understand that, but I know that smaller companies will not be looking after their people in the same way. And you and I know this because you and me worked in small companies together. And good God, I mean, that was, you know, they would, yeah. Things like dental, insurance,
Hasbro's,
stuff like
Hasbro's
that.
Hasbro's exposure is a lot higher.
Exactly.
I get that.
So they'll look after those
hasn't
people.
Been Many firings, but then I don't know why Hasbro would fire anybody for this. Think that through to the end.
So my thing on the firing, I don't think it's that. My thing is more around the quitting. I'm surprised I haven't seen somebody high end go, I'm not comfortable with this anymore. I'll see you later.
Because you get so high that you've got too much skin in the game. Exposure goes both ways.
Yeah, agreed. I do agree on that one. The other thing is I reached out to John at Handiwork.
Lovely John who came on the show.
Yeah, obviously. So creator of Beowulf, right? Mm-hmm. One of the creators
of
Beowulf.
Yeah, one of the people.
Just to get his take on the book, how it all runs, because obviously we run a 5e D&D podcast, and Beowulf is technically part of that. And he managed to get back to me, which I appreciate. Again, thanks John for the time, because he didn't need to do this. It's exactly that thing of spending the time, didn't get paid for this
at
all.
Sending the elevator back down, so to speak.
Exactly. So, basically, they're investigating options. So, they like Beowulf as the setting, and they're looking to basically change it to a standalone game with familiar mechanics, but not 5e.
See, where do you draw the line on that?
Exactly.
That's going to be another... Because I know Matt Colville has tweeted something similar.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the first ones to be like, all right, I'm just going to do my own thing, see you later, job done. But again, he's in the position where he doesn't have that amount of risk tied to his thing because he's already got a huge following. There's people, you know, he's making money doing these creative things and has been a writer for years.
And that doesn't make him the enemy, quote-unquote.
It doesn't make
him a bad person. It just makes him a successful person. And being successful isn't bad. I really feel like I need to get that across. I feel like I always come across as a sort of, hey, man, give everything back. And you should. But being successful inherently doesn't make you bad.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Just a fucking another asterisk atop this podcast.
So, look, I'm close to death now.
Lovely.
If we could bring this show to a close, Samuel, before I pass out, that would be ideal. Do you think you've said everything that you wanted to say on this, or is there extra?
I could talk for hours, but I won't. One thing I want to do, a little bit of housekeeping. The first blog for Erdwolf's Earworms, there you go, is on the Discord. I'm going to pieces now. It's like my tongue's just been cut in two. It's on the Discord. It's... across a couple of posts, just come and talk about music and what you think about what you do when you listen to the show, what you do when you... It's a wider conversation just about music, to be honest. And I blog about the songs that we use in the usual episodes. And it's slightly longer this week because it's like all the songs that we've mentioned so far across two or three episodes. So, yeah, come on down and read that. Let us know what you think. And yeah, just be nice to have another sort of interaction, because you have your own thing on the Discord. You have the where people come in and get involved on the choices that are made. I don't read that, so it'd be nice to have like a sort of Sam space.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a terrible MySpace
where we can all, you know, air our dirty musical laundry.
Yeah, I was actually very impressed with that, Sam, because I thought it was just going to be, here's a link, here's like a sentence, but it was actually like very insightful, and I actually enjoyed. I shouldn't sound so surprised by this, but
shouldn't,
I enjoyed reading
shouldn't,
it.
Shouldn't, but I mean, yeah. You got reason to. You can thank Rick Rubin's new book for that. It's very good. Pick it up, by the way.
Lovely stuff. Well, look, we'll put the link in the Discord, link to the Discord in the show notes, so
absolutely.
You can see that. I also spent some time, again, unpaid time, 3 to 4 hours, putting together a map of everything of the island.
Now, what are we going to do with that? Have we put that on the Discord? Are we going to give that away, I guess? Or what do you fancy doing? Are you going to update it every week? Or?
Yeah, so I've posted it on the Discord. Right now, it's tracking Erdwulf's journey through the Isle, which we're just calling at the moment the Isle, until Erdwulf kind of finds out what it's called. And as, you know, as places get named, as things get explored, as more information comes into it, it'll be basically generated. So you can see that map kind of, like a video game, unlock over time.
Do you remember that joke in the Simpsons? That sounds great, by the way, and it is really good. Check it out.
Mm.
But side, sort of side to that.
Note.
Do you remember that joke in the Simpsons where they exile Lisa to Monster Island? And she's like, don't worry, it's a misnomer. And then it flashes forward and she's running from monsters and she says, I thought it was a misnomer. And the other guy's like, yeah, it's not actually an island. It's really more of a peninsula.
You have an encyclopedic knowledge of Simpson jokes, from a certain period.
Yeah,
for sure.
Seasons 2 to 10, that's my bag.
Yeah,
oh, how original. Enough. Anyway.
Lovely. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I'm sorry it's not a full show. But my temperature's through the roof. Meh. So tough, basically.
love ya.
I know, exactly. No, thank you so much for listening and also taking on our opinions.
Let us know what you think as well, because this is an open discussion and, you know, two things can be true at once.
That they can. Yeah, you are right there. Thank you, Samuel. Wicked. Look, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
You know it was hard for him to say thank you because he used my full name, like my father. See you later, everybody. Back to normal next week. Bye-bye.